on June 15, 1707, one of my favorite pastors that I like to read, Thomas Boston, he preached a farewell sermon to his congregation in Scotland as he prepared to begin ministry in another part of the country. And his closing words to that congregation were these: "Above all, I exhort you to go to Christ and be daily making use of him for the supply of all your wants. I dare not say I have been useless here. I hope you and I will not forget the many sweet days we have had in this place." As I reflect on 12 years among you, I will not forget the many sweet days that we have had in this place. And as I considered over the last several weeks how it is that I would like to close things out and that final message of my ministry here among you, I want to bring that ministry among you to a close, not with the words of Thomas Boston, but with the words of the Holy Spirit from the pen of the Apostle Paul. This morning we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where the Apostle says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Congregation, this has been our sweetness together. Christ crucified. And as we look at this text together this morning, I want to begin with looking at the determination of Christ crucified. The determination of Christ crucified. Notice where the Apostle Paul here says, "For I have decided." For I have decided. Our translation that we use together is translating that word as decided. And that is the Apostle Paul bringing Christ crucified to this church in Corinth. He's not saying that he's decided to not know anything about them. He's saying that what his decision has been is to primarily bring, to make Christ known, Christ crucified known to his congregation. The word decided in Greek means to esteem or to judge or to determine or to separate or to choose. It's as if the Apostle Paul looks out at his ministry among the people of Corinth and he is determining what is important to bring to them. He's determining what is that which is most important. He's choosing, he's being selective in that which he puts forward. And what he says, what he wants to impress upon their souls, in reflection, he's impressed upon their souls Christ crucified. The determination is at the center of Paul's ministry, is a crucified Jesus Christ. So looking back on his work, Paul makes clear that Jesus Christ would be preached. And he would be preached in such a manner that the people would look at a bloody, crucified Jesus, that on the forefront of their spiritual minds would be this Christ. this Christ that they're called to rest in and to cling to. Now, I need to note that that is not against other things. It's not against doctrinal preaching. It's not against preaching things that might be controversial or things that the congregation might not disagree with. Paul has never been one to shy back from those things that are hard or controversial. But central to that, even central to doctrinal preaching or controversial preaching, is Christ crucified. And again, as he has determined to bring Christ crucified, it doesn't mean that they didn't know the likes and the dislikes of the Apostle Paul. It doesn't mean that they didn't know something of his character or his personal style or his hobbies or the things that he enjoys. But those were not the things that Paul preached. Paul did not preach his personal opinions or his personal style or his hobbies. He preached Christ crucified. Paul is also not saying that other fields of knowledge are unimportant or inappropriate. There's many things that are of value that may be pursued, things like the sciences or the arts or literature or music and the like, but these are not the things that Paul centered his ministry on. It was Christ crucified. Look at the verses around verse 2. Starting at 1 and reading to verse 5, Paul says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul has this determination. He's determined to not come in excellency of words. He's not attempting to stand before a congregation and impress them with his skills of rhetoric or his skills in philosophy. And Paul knew both of these things. Paul was trained in the ancient arts. Paul was trained in debate and logic. And Paul was trained in philosophy and the sciences of his age. He talks about his education, one of the finest of the ancient world. So Paul knew these things, but this is not what he put forth. It was not his determination. You see, Paul was not incomprehensible because of his great rhetoric. His words were never considered excellent in his preaching. You remember on one of his missionary journeys, he was basically called a little babbler. Paul does not come with the wisdom of this world. He did not preach the current fads or the psychological theories of the day. He did not come preaching Christ in a manner that reflected a palatable Jesus, one that the world could accept. But instead, he preached plainly. That's the word that he used. He preached Christ crucified plainly and in the power of the Spirit. Plain words, understandable words brought forth, and the Spirit of God blesses that preaching. Congregation, you've seen Christ crucified. As we've opened the Scriptures together, have you seen Christ crucified? Has the Spirit of God impressed upon you the bloody person of Christ, that your soul may embrace Him? This is what the Spirit of God does. And Paul says that, I'm determined to bring Christ crucified. I have a single eye towards the bringing of Christ crucified. I've examined everything possible. I can look at the wisdom of this world. I can look at excellency of speech. But I'm determined with plainness and the blessing of the Spirit of God upon plain preaching that Christ crucified is what would be lifted up. So what does that look like? What does it look like to bring Christ crucified to the people in Corinth? Our second heading this morning is the scope of Christ crucified. The scope of Christ crucified. In Paul's mind, what does this look for? What does this look like? What is it that the Apostle Paul is looking for as he wants to bring Christ crucified to the congregation? Well, we know that Paul has an extensive view of systematic theology, doesn't he? Paul taught the from all portions of the Word of God. You look at Paul's writing and you could find all the ways that he quotes from the Old Testament, or you can look at his magnum opus, which is the book of Romans, and the whole counsel of God is there, isn't it? You can take the book of Romans and you can take any systematic theology, and they're basically set up parallel. Systematic theology follows the Apostle Paul's example in the book of Romans. But what Paul is doing is he's taught the whole counsel of God, but what is central and the centerpiece of his preaching and teaching is Christ crucified. The center of the great doctrines of Scripture and the center of even the dark corners of the Word of God is Jesus Christ crucified. A bloody, weakened, broken Jesus. This is the theme that we find throughout the Scriptures. The second person of the Trinity comes and takes on flesh, and he lives in humiliation and in suffering for sinners that are in need of a Savior. That bloody, weakened, broken Jesus is central. And this is from week to week what I have sought to set out before you, that you would look spiritually into the eyes of a Jesus that has been broken for you, a bloodied Christ. I've challenged you to look into the wounds of the hands of your Savior and to look at the stripes on his back and the stabs in his side and the thorns that were put on his head, and to see this bloody Savior put before you week after week. And why? Why would that be the centerpiece? Why would the scope of the Scriptures be a crucified Christ? It is because he is central to your faith. Christ crucified is central to your walk as a Christian. And people struggle with this. And people have always struggled with this. People have tried to bleach away the bloodstains of Christ. Why don't you preach a Christ that just makes our lives better? Can't you just preach application sermons? People need to hear about dating and marriage, and people need to hear about balancing budgets and home economics, and people need to hear these things. Just preach those messages. Preach a Christ that brings prosperity. Can't you just preach a Christ that encourages us to look to Him and fill our bank accounts? Preach a Christ that is all about power and influence. Preach a Christ that is mainly about cultural transformation. How Jesus affects the arts and how Jesus affects things within society. There are so many voices that are telling you what you ought to be listening for. There are so many voices, a cacophony of voices coming to your ear saying, listen for that Jesus. Listen for Jesus from this perspective. Listen for that type of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, listen for weakness. Listen for humiliation. Listen for suffering. Listen for brokenness. Listen for the bloody Christ. Preach a Christ that is crucified. Preach a Jesus that is bloodstained and weak as He secures salvation for His people, because that bloodstains, or those bloodstains, and that humiliation and that weakness is for your salvation. It is so that you might be redeemed. It is so that you might have faith. It is so that you might have assurance. And again, Paul elsewhere says, when we talk about this Christ, for some, He is a stumbling block. And what is He to others? Foolishness. It is a stumbling block for some, the people walking around and they're saying, where is hope? Where is salvation? Where is the meaning of life? Where is what my purpose is? Where is my way of being right with God? And as they're pacing back and forth, they just keep tripping over Jesus and tripping over Jesus and tripping over Jesus. Because they look to a crucified Christ and they say, it can't be that. And for others, it is foolishness. Why would God take on flesh? Why would a bloody Savior be a valuable Savior? What story in human history has the victor as the one who dies? It is foolishness to some. What a waste of time. Where is the salvation? The congregation, Christ crucified is to be preached. Christ crucified must be preached. And it is my prayer that to you, that bloody, weak, and crucified Savior is not a stumbling block. Is not foolishness. Why? Because we are told that it is the power of God unto salvation. Christ crucified, the power of God unto salvation. So that whole scope of preaching Christ crucified, we see that it is central to the teaching of the Scriptures. Whatever doctrines or teachings you would find from the Scriptures, Jesus is there centering that doctrine. And that is true in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. From our father, our first father, Adam, needing to be covered in the skins of a sacrificed animal, that provision that God made for Adam, to the provision of a ram for Abraham, to the blood of the sacrificial system of Moses, to the Psalms of crucifixion from the lips of David, to the suffering servant of Isaiah. Christ crucified is throughout all of the Old Testament, that scarlet thread that holds the Scriptures together. And of course, it's always much clearer in the New Testament. But Jesus is preached. A crucified Jesus is placed before your eyes. So besides this promotion of Christ in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Paul would also encourage you to find the best books to show you Christ crucified. Your readers, your reading congregation, find the best books that promote Christ crucified. Make him the determination of your reading and the meditation of your mind. Make Christ crucified the great interest of your soul as you read and explore the great promoters of Christ throughout history. Augustine and Anselm, Aquinas, Bernard, Calvin, Owen, Watson. The scope of Christ crucified ought to saturate your mind and saturate your heart as you come to look to Christ by faith and as you love the blood of Christ that was shed for your soul. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing can for sin atone, not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Glory. Glory, this I sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, the scope of Christ crucified is found in the teaching of the Scriptures. It's found in the Old and New Testament. It's found in the best literature, the lasting literature of Christian history. And this scope also must come to you experientially. You can't just look at this Jesus, this bloody Jesus, and say, yeah, that's Jesus. That's the bloody Christ. Yep, that's there in the Old Testament. Yep, that author did talk about Jesus crucified. There has to be an experiential knowledge of Christ crucified. You must know this bloody Jesus. And that blood ought to saturate your very heart and mind. You must be clothed in the pure, white, bloody garments of Christ's righteousness. Congregation, know that for your soul. Know that for your mind. Know that with every fiber of your being. Know that God is to come, or that you are to come to God, and you are called to reason with Him. You are called to reason concerning this bloody Savior who spilled His blood for sinners that are not worthy, and that are never worthy, and that are always unworthy of His love. And yet this blood spilled calls us to step in by faith, to bathe, and to be assured of that love. How precious is the blood of Christ. How glorious is a crucified Christ. So we've seen this determination from Paul. He says, I'm determined. I am focused on this. This is what I'm going to do. And then we've looked at the scope of Christ crucified as the Apostle Paul talks about Christ crucified in other parts of the Scripture. He's constantly pointing us back to the Old Testament, and he's pointing us to his systematic teaching. But I want to conclude, thirdly, with the application of Christ crucified. The application of Christ crucified. As you apply a crucified, bloody Savior to your hearts and to your minds, I would like you to consider some of the meditations that may help you to spur on that application of Christ more and more in your life. Notice that Paul says, For I have determined to know nothing but Christ crucified. That means that there is a knowledge that is promoted here, a knowledge of Christ crucified. And as you apply this Christ crucified, I want you to first consider that as Paul uses this knowledge, this word for know, it is a word that has a scope beyond just having some intellectual understanding of. The word means to behold, to look at, or to perceive, or to turn your mind to. This is what Paul is calling us to. This is the application. Paul says to look to Jesus, to look to Christ crucified, and understand the great depths and scope of this knowledge. To swim deeply in the knowledge of a crucified Christ. To behold that Christ crucified. And to perceive it. To hold on to it. You know, as a congregation, you have many interests and many talents. There's such a diversity of talents and interests here. There are those here that have great knowledge in math and in chemistry and in the arts, and those that love history, and those that have great skills with your hands. There are those that know the sciences, and there are musicians, and there are folks that are skilled in home economics, and there are those that know multiple languages, and those that excel in business, those that love animals, those that love gardening, those that love design. I mean, you think about the plethora of interests and skill that are in this congregation, and it's fantastic. This is not a one-note congregation by any means. You all know many things. And here Paul tells you that as he brought teaching to Corinth, his determination was that they would know, they would perceive and grasp and behold and take hold of Christ crucified. You see, Christ crucified is really the greatest of all knowledge. Christ crucified is central to what you need to know in this life. It is the centerpiece of Paul's ministry and teaching and preaching. And it is that great experimental knowledge of his soul. Christ crucified. This is the greatest and highest of knowledge. But it is not just intellectual. For Christ crucified is the way of salvation. And I hope that you are determined to know him. That you are determined to speak with one another about him, that they may know him. That you are determined to promote him among the children, to lift him up, to encourage one another with this Christ. Determined to study him, determined to swim deeply in the bloody ocean of his love, for Christ crucified is the greatest of knowledge. But again, this knowledge is also plain. That's worth applying. Paul uses that word, and it's worth applying. This knowledge of Christ is plain. So Paul says, I came with plain words. What that means is that you can't make the excuse that you don't have a seminary degree. I can't understand Christ crucified. I didn't go to seminary. It is plain teaching. It is teaching that is acceptable or to be acceptable to everyone in the congregation. Everyone who has ears to hear is able to understand a Christ crucified. Remember the magic or the Orphan Annie decoder ring? You know, drink more Ovaltine. You don't need a magic Orphan Annie decoder ring to decode Jesus Christ. You don't need authors like Dan Brown and those that promote crazy ideas, for Jesus is plain in the scriptures. That which is needed for your salvation and that which is needed for your godliness, your walk as a Christian, it is plain in the scriptures. I love the story of the famous European theologian that was here on an American tour several decades ago. I won't share his name because it'll sidetrack you. But an interviewer asked this theologian, saying, you know, you have this Church Dogmatics, it's 10 volumes, you've written extensively, you're one of the greatest theologians in all of the world. What is the message that is most important to your life? Or what is that which has been most transformative to your life? And again, famous theologian, and he says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is plain. Our children know of the love of this Christ. Christ crucified lifted up. It's not knowledge that is out of reach for you. It is something where you are called to look to the Scriptures and to have the Spirit of God impress this upon you, that a bloody Christ is before you, that you may be redeemed and that you may walk according to His Word. It is plain knowledge. So it's the greatest of knowledge. It's the plainest of knowledge. Also, we see in Ephesians 3, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So you catch that. It's plain knowledge of Christ crucified. Paul's determined to know nothing among them, to share nothing among them, but Christ crucified. And yet here he's saying that you are called to comprehend Christ, to look at the height and the depth and the width of this Christ and His love that surpasses knowledge. What that means is that you will never come to an end. Of knowing Christ crucified. There will never be a point in your Christian life where you're able to close the book and say, I've got it figured out. There will never come a time where me as a minister of the gospel, or whoever the Lord may bring to you next, there will never come a time where the minister before you closes the book and says, congregation, this ends the ministry of Christ crucified. Here ends what I have to say. I have 100 years and 1,000 years and an eternity of things to say. You all know that. And you have that knowledge of the love of God in Christ, of Christ crucified, that will go forever and ever and ever, and even take you into eternity, where you will continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ crucified. There is no final message concerning Christ crucified. There is no closure concerning Christ crucified. Ministers will come and ministers will go. Christ crucified will stay central here. And you know that's true not only of ministers, but of many in the life of the congregation. We live in a transient city. People come and people go. And as people come and as people go into and out of the life of LARPC, this building standing here and the ministry that it represents, central to that, as long as God blesses, is Christ crucified. Never coming to a close. This knowledge is high and low and wide, and this bloody knowledge, this crucified knowing, will never come to an end. You are to grow and you are to know. And you are to grow and you are to know. And that's to take you into eternity. And it is the way of godliness and of true happiness. 1 Timothy 4 says, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life, and also for the life to come. Congregation, this is our application. We look to Christ crucified. And when you take your eyes off of Christ, you look again. And you look again. And you look again. And you look again. You will never come to the end of getting to know this Christ. Apply Jesus Christ crucified, for he was made bloody for you. Apply that. Apply Christ crucified. Know the scope of Christ crucified and be determined concerning Christ crucified. Again, going back to the closing words of Thomas Boston, he said, "Above all, I exhort you to go to Christ and be daily making use of him for the supply of all your wants. I dare not say I have been useless here. I hope you and I will not forget the many sweet days we have had in this place. For I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Amen.